The percentage of people who smoke in America is much smaller than it once was, and yet we're still dealing with the byproducts of people smoking, like cigarette butts. Those little paper tubes with the plastic filters seem to end up everywhere, and they add up to a lot of trash. The Cigarette Butt Pollution Project makes its intention rather clear with its name, to get the cigarette butt pollution down on land and on water. Dr. Tom Novotny is a founding member of the project and its CEO, doctor as in MD and Master of Public Health. Dr. Novotny, thanks for joining us today.
You're very welcome. Thank you for having me.
I'm good to have you. So, smokers, I notice, are down to about maybe 15-16% of the population, according to the CDC. Does the fact that most people don't smoke figure in how many people notice cigarette butts?
Well, it might, because people are more sensitized to the after effects of smoking, especially as they maybe engage a little bit more in natural environments, parks, beaches, etc., where these things don't really have a place. And so I think so. I think people are more sensitized to it as it becomes denormalized.
Are there places where cigarette butts are a bigger problem than they used to be? Are there more butts? I mean, obviously they don't go away. They're not biodegradable,
right?
It would appear.
Yeah, no, globally, there's still 6 trillion cigarettes sold, and here in the United States, it's 280 billion or so, and about 99% of those are attached, or have the plastic non-biodegradable filter attached. So that's the part that it stays in the environment. The tobacco and the paper will biodegrade fairly rapidly, but the cigarette filter, being plastic, doesn't. And I think the other thing that happens is, as we've restricted smoking in indoor areas, you're certainly going to see more butts, you know, sort of flicked out onto the beaches. They're not perhaps as cared for, you know, in ashtrays, et cetera. But, you know, we've also tried to reduce the sort of butt waste receptacles in many places, because they're sort of a cue to smoke. It says it's okay to smoke. It's, you know, go ahead and do it. We're going to take care of your cigarette butts. But it's a double-edged sword, because, that if we don't have those, then there's no place for people to put them. But, you know, I think it requires some other kind of creative thinking to go upstream from the butt waste problem, so it isn't just a matter of disposal, it's a matter of prevention.
So discouraging people from smoking, maybe encouraging them to just chuck the butt someplace?
Well, discouraging people from smoking is clearly the objective of all of us public health people. But there's some other things that we can think about. For instance, banning the sale of filtered cigarettes. You know, the filter itself has no health benefit. It doesn't protect people from the carcinogens and the other kinds of toxic substances that cause heart disease or lung disease.
It reduces some of it, but there's obviously not enough. Is that what you're saying?
No, it actually makes it worse.
Really?
For several reasons. One, it encourages people to smoke. You know, it makes it easier to smoke. You know, it's not as harsh. I think, you know, for a young person who's experiments with cigarette smoking, it makes it easier for them to get that first cigarette and also become addicted. The second thing is that it discourages people from quitting, because they think they are doing something, even though it really doesn't matter, you know, in terms of their health. The filter has been shown not to have any protective effect in terms of the health consequences of smoking. This has been shown by the National Cancer Institute. The U.S. Surgeon General's reports have made a clear statement about this. And what we've seen in some recent publications is that the most aggressive kind of lung cancer caused by smoking, it's known as adenocarcinoma, has actually increased since the time the filter has been introduced into the market back in the 50s and 60s. And so I really believe, and there's a lot of other folks in my field who agree with me on this, including the U.S. Surgeon General, that the filter has absolutely no benefit and should, you know, then therefore, it seems to me it could be banned, not just for the environmental impact that would have, but also because I think it would decrease smoking, reduce the health consequences of smoking by reducing the number of people who take up smoking, et cetera.
Tom Novotny, I noticed in reading up on this that you worked in the CDC's Smoking and Health Office. I wonder if you saw some things there that firmed up your resolve to continue working on this issue, even though not for the CDC.
Yeah, and I worked for the government for 23 years, and more recently, actually, in the Obama administration. And you know, the interesting thing now is that the FDA has regulatory authority over tobacco products, and it is possible for them to consider such a ban. But the other thing that's possible, the law that authorizes the FDA to regulate tobacco products also makes it very clear that states or local environments can, or states or local jurisdictions can ban the sale of filtered cigarettes. And we have some models for that. For instance, in San Francisco banned the sale of menthol cigarettes for the same reasons, that it makes it easier to smoke and makes it more likely that people become addicted, the menthol flavoring. And so, you know, I think that there it makes sense that one could actually take this on at a state or local level. Here in California, a law had been put into the Assembly Government Organizations Committee three times now, but each time it hasn't made it out of committee. But I'm optimistic that at some point, with the evidence that becomes cumulative, that we'll be able to get something like this either at the state level or at the local level, especially in California where it's only about 12% smokers.
Tom Novotny is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, founding member and CEO of the Cigarette Butt Pollution Project. You can join the conversation on the exchange and share stories about places you have found cigarette butts. Or perhaps you're a smoker and are wondering what to do with these and want us to get off your back or something along those lines. Either way, join us on the exchange at 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. So how long has the Cigarette Butt Pollution Project been in existence?
Yeah, we got this started in 2010. And we've been funded for some of our work by the Tobacco-Related Disease Research Program here in California, as well as the State Health Department, as well as some other organizations such as the Truth Initiative in Washington, and also some funding for research from the National Cancer Institute.
And so what are some of the major goals? I mean, obviously you want to reduce the thing, and you talked about some of the mechanisms that that could be used, but what anything that shows more promise than anything else?
Well, I think one of the more important things is just what you're doing today is raising the level of attention. And I think, you know, when people realize that not only are cigarette butts the single most picked up item on beach cleanups and urban cleanups for that matter, globally, every year for the last 30 years, it means that something should be done about it. We're not doing very well. It's not enough to just pick them up because that just picks up just a small percentage of the cigarette butts that are deposited. But yet these the cleanups actually help raise the level of attention to this problem. And say, look, let's think about what we can do more creatively than just try to pick them up. I think there's some other issues too, whereas we've held the tobacco industry accountable for the health consequences of smoking through lawsuits, through a multi-state settlement back in the late 80s. And so I think that there's more we could do to hold the tobacco industry responsible for the product that it produces, knowing that the cigarette butt, the filter is non-biodegradable and that it doesn't actually help protect health.
I noticed, too, that the tobacco industry has at least made the appearance of some moves to correct. What is TerraCycle? This is a program that the industry put out, right?
Well, not directly from the industry. They funded. They have funded it. TerraCycle's done some good stuff. They've taken on recycling of difficult things like flip-flops and pop-tops and other kinds of junk that gets deposited easily into the environment. And so what they've tried to do is recruit communities to send in butts that are picked up from the environment and recycle them into products that might be commercially sellable. But, you know, it's pretty hard to imagine that something made out of toxic hazardous waste would be that attractive. They focus on things like pallets or park benches or some other kinds of stuff. Getting funding from the industry is one way that is able to be conducted. The industry has also funded some of the environmental groups that are doing cleanups. Keep America Beautiful is almost, you know, mostly funded by Philip Morris or Altria. The Ocean Conservancy, Nature Conservancy, several other groups do take money from the tobacco industry, which makes it harder for them to engage in stuff that goes against the industry.
There was literature somewhere that indicated that the cigarette butts are becoming the largest plastic issue in the oceans. Is that is that what you have in front of you?
Well, I mean, I think it's a little bit a little too broad a description. The real data that we have is that it's the single most picked up item on beach cleanups and as well as urban cleanups. Now, what that means is that stuff does go into the ocean as far as how much of it is plastic waste, how much of the plastic waste that's in the ocean is due to cigarette butts is pretty hard to determine. We're trying to identify some markers in the environment, in the stormwater that comes out of our drainage or even in the land environment to see if we can identify what kind of exposure is there. But I don't think it's appropriate to say that it's the single most important thing in the oceans, because we don't really have data that can substantiate that.
All right. So we talked about a couple of efforts here. One is to get to stop certain products from being sold. But assuming there are still going to be some cigarette butts, and filters or not, there's still going to be those. What then can you do, particularly if you're trying to get people to maybe recycle them or do something with them? But people don't want to carry the butts around. If they did, they wouldn't throw them on the ground, I would think.
That's right. I mean, people want to get rid of it, not just because it stinks, but because it reminds them that they're still addicted to cigarettes. But, recycling, I don't think, is a really good option for cigarette butts, just because they are a toxic, hazardous waste product. We've shown this in the lab with using an EPA protocol to see what the effect is on aquatic organisms, and we tested both marine and saltwater fish and found that the lethal dose 50, that is where half the fish that have been exposed to the leachate from cigarette butts are killed within a 96-hour period of being exposed to them. So that qualifies butts as a toxic hazardous waste product. So the recycling isn't nearly as acceptable in terms of this thing. Having a take-back program might be another interesting option. We do this with paint, for instance, here in California, and I think in Oregon, too.
Yeah.
There's the Paint Care Initiative, where if you have leftover paint, there's a contractor that's been hired by the industry and paid for by the industry, and that cost then is passed on to the consumer, where you bring it the unused paint back to a distributor, and that gets taken care of in terms of either recycling or disposal. I'd love for us to try to think about something like that, paid for by the industry, not by counties, not by, voluntary groups, but really by the industry that has been profiting from the sale of cigarettes.
But then if you're going to do a take back, you have to have people walking around with what? I mean, pouches of butts and stuff?
It would certainly discourage a lot of people from selling cigarettes, I think. The stores that would have to take them back would have to find some way of having a, depository that doesn't stink up the whole place. We did a butt cleanup on our campus, San Diego State University, where I'm affiliated. And each year for the last, for several 4 years, not the last one, but several years, we picked up all the butts. But then you figure out what to do with them. And it's not an easy task to dispose of them. If you just dump them into the dumpster, they're eventually going to end up in the landfill and leach out the chemicals just as they do in the lab, as we've shown.
So what's in the cigarette butts? I haven't asked that much yet.
Yeah. Well, the filter, of course, is the part that doesn't biodegrade and that is most visible, and it's the kind of thing that you pick up on the beach. And the tobacco remnant and the paper generally biodegrade, but the filter will catch something such as volatile volatile gases and particulates, and so it'll look stained as a result of that. But so many of the chemicals still are not filtered out as you would think, such as with a water filter that filters out bacteria and viruses, et cetera. And so the filter still has a lot of chemicals in it, but in the particulates, and the chemicals that we've identified certainly include nicotine as well as ethylphenol, heavy metals, and a variety of others. There's like 5,000 chemicals in cigarettes in general, and about 50 of them are carcinogens. And so many of these things do end up in the leachates or the residuals in the cigarette butt itself. But the cigarette butt is made out of cellulose acetate, which is a type of plastic that, again, does not biodegrade.
I wonder, finally, Dr. Tom Novotny, if you're worried you'll get to half a loaf, where you'll get more people vaping than smoking, so you'll get rid of the butt problem, but you'll have more smokers.
Well, there's another issue there that arises, because vaping involves batteries and electronics, and also in the case of Juul, these little pods. We've been looking in the storm drains on a special study here in San Diego, and after sifting through all the junk, we see lots and lots of cigarette butts, but we're starting to see electronic cigarettes, and I found several of the Juuls pods that provide the nicotine in the electronic cigarettes. So there's that problem as well. And whether or not the electronic cigarettes are a harm reduction is still sort of up in the air. We consider them tobacco products. There's still an addictive drug that's been delivered, and right now it's certainly an appeal mostly to kids, which is no good for them because it has definite neurological effects on the developing brain.
Okay, a lot of work ahead clearly for the Cigarette Butt Pollution Project. Dr. Tom Novotny is founding member and CEO. Thanks so much for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange.